So I have, you guys can come on up here. I'm going to do a little intro before I have you do that. I have two quick announcements that I would like to make before we move on this morning. Next Saturday morning here at Parkman Congregational Church, I will be having a visnage council. What that means is that several pastors are going to be here grilling me. Several pastors from the congregational church, like different churches in Ohio, but also several pastors from churches in the area who I've built relationships with. And they're going to be grilling me on my ordination paper. When they're done, they're going to send their recommendation to the four C's, and we will be having an ordination service here. And that's exciting. What I'm asking you to do, because when I first took this position here, I was asked to wait a year before changing out my license for an ordination. So what I'm asking you to do is, if you're willing, is to pray. Because this is a 2 to 3 hour visnage council where people are going to be throwing questions at me left and right. Pray that my anxiety goes down and pray that God gives me the wisdom I need to give the right answers, because it's 2 to 3 hours in the hot seat. You know what that's like. And second, I have one more announcement. Next Saturday night, Will Collins is having a worship team meeting over at Middlefield Methodist Church. Originally, this was just planned to be a worship team thing, but people started inquiring and asking him if they can get involved, and so he has opened it up. What they're going to do is meet at Middlefield Methodist at 6:30. They're going to have hot cocoa with some snacks, and then they're going to split up into teams and go around town caroling. So if anyone is interested, be at the Methodist Church at 6:30 next Saturday night. If you have questions, ask me. I might, big might, have the answer for that. But right now we're in the Advent season. I'm going to let you'll know exactly when you're supposed to start, so don't worry. We're in the Advent season, a time when we purposely remember that our Lord and Savior stepped down from heaven to earth in the form of a baby. A time when promises of old are fulfilled for the people of God. Advent is a special time of year. Most Americans celebrate this thing called Christmas, and while I have nothing wrong with the idea of Christmas, I mean, you look at my house, I keep putting more and more lights up, and as the years go on, there's going to be even more. I love lights. So while I have nothing wrong with the concept of Christmas, or even the concept of Santa Claus, or Rudolph, or Frosty, and I definitely have nothing wrong with Bing Crosby's White Christmas, which is probably the best movie out there. But we've thrown out the idea of what Christmas really is at its heart. We've pushed aside what it is. And Advent is a time for us to remember that our Lord stepped down. It's a time for us to remember that our Lord, the Lord of all creation, came to earth to fulfill a millennia-old promise given to Father Abraham, that through his offspring, all nations will be blessed, all peoples will be blessed. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, would you please open them with me to the Gospel of Luke? We're going to be looking at chapter 1, starting in verse 5. We're reading through verse 24, and then jumping down to verse 57 through 79. And this can be found starting on page 1587 of your pew Bibles. That is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord.
In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear your son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord.
He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will be bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have sent to speak to you and to tell you of this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and 4 or 5 months remained in seclusion, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people."
When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and shared her joy. On the 8th day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, and holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
God. Thanks. Thank you. And I like how you ended that. This is the word of the Lord. And then the true frozen chosen church, the response to that is, thanks be to God. Amen. Because that is awesome. I am right now, I'm struggling with two things. I have a clock up there that it's one of those... What are they called? Something. Atomic clocks that... it's not working. So it's about 5 minutes off, whereas last week it was 3, and then a month ago it was an hour off. And I don't know if I have a cold or if I have the allergies, so I'm going to try to get through this today without... Yeah. So we're in the time of Advent, and we have this understanding of the fact that Christ has come to earth, and we're looking forward to that. But we need to look forward to it more than just at Advent. We need to be looking forward to the promises that Christ has given us year-round. We need to act year-round like we're looking for Christ coming back, because Christ is coming back. He's going to come back to judge the living. He's going to come back to judge the dead, and we need to be prepared for that. During the time of Advent, we go to these traditional stories. Many of us have heard of the three wise men, these magi who traveled great distances bringing frankincense, gold, and myrrh to our Lord and Savior. They traveled great distances following a star. Many of us are familiar with, and we probably even sing that song yearly, We Three Kings. We sing it at church. Some of us, if you're like my family, who just get together and play the guitar for hours on end during the Christmas season, you sing it at home, because everyone loves to sing We Three Kings. And while this is a well-known story, one of them that's been passed down from generation to generation, I think there is a story that is even more important than this. Yes, the three kings, they brought these gifts to our Lord and Savior, these gifts that were extravagant, these gifts that probably funded the Holy Family while they were in Egypt escaping a ruler who wanted to kill Jesus in the crib. But I think there's another group of three individuals who are just as important, if not more so important. And I would like to call these three people the three wise queens. I was joking with Frank this past week about writing a different version of our famous Christmas song, We Three Kings. It starts off like this, and forgive me for my voice. We three queens of Israel are sitting, waiting under the star, here to serve our Lord Almighty, honoring our call. Oh, star of wonder, star of night. I'm going to write this song. It's going to be a famous Christmas carol, because I think there needs to be recognition for what they did. These kings have a great song. Everyone sings them. Where are these queens' song? And no, not queen. We're not singing We Are the Champion. This is not a feminist thing. This is a realization that God used these three women more than he used those three kings, and they should be recognized for their contribution because they honored and obeyed and followed our Lord. Over the coming weeks, we'll be looking at Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior. I joked last year, and I'm sorry if I hurt people's feelings. I really am. I joked last year about that song, Mary, Did You Know? It's a beautiful song. I love hearing it. I cry sometimes when it's sung. But the whole concept of the song, Mary, Did You Know? Yes, she knew. She has her own song that she sang about it herself. So next week, we're going to look at Mary hearing from the angel of the Lord and what that means for us. And the week after, we're going to look at this really cool person. Her name's Anna, and she was a prophetess. She waited and was excited to meet the Lord and Savior. She was one of the first people to meet him after he had been born. She had been waiting for a long time. The people of God had been waiting a long time. They'd been waiting centuries, if not millennia, for the coming of our Lord and Savior, for the coming of the true Messiah. And he finally arrived. This week, we're looking at Elizabeth. She's a relative of Mary, the mother of Christ. She's a descendant of Aaron, and she's married to this guy named Zechariah, who was a priest, specifically a priest of the division of Abijah. Zechariah had been chosen by Lot to go in and spend time in the temple. His job was to go in during this time and burn incense. And I'm going to try to find an incense burner over the next couple of weeks so we could burn some frankincense. If anyone's allergic to it, let me know. We won't burn it if you're allergic to it. But it's really cool. It smells really good. There is a reason we're told about Elizabeth's lineage. There has to be, because if you look nowhere else in Scripture, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, nowhere else in the history of the Jewish people was a female ever listed in line to anyone of importance, listed as a descendant of Aaron. We know that there were females that were descendants of Aaron, but you never find a name of one of them who's listed anywhere in antiquity with a reference to one like we have right here in Luke's gospel, Elizabeth, a descendant of Aaron. And if we ever, if historians ever find a woman who is listed in the line of Aaron, aside from Elizabeth, we need to really look at her life, pray about that, maybe follow in her footsteps like we should be following in Elizabeth's footsteps. But with Elizabeth, her being named in Scripture as a descendant of Aaron, it makes you think, was Elizabeth acting in a priestly manner? Look at verse 6. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Both of them. They both honored the Lord in all they did. They served the Lord in all they did. But unfortunately, there was a problem. And verse 7 states that. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. This right here is like the major problem for Elizabeth. It's been a problem most of her life. It was considered a shame to be barren. A man could actually divorce his wife if she was not able to give him a child, and yet they stayed together. It was actually a good thing to divorce your wife if she could not give you a child, and yet they stayed together. They held that shame together, believing in their heart that their lineage was going to stop. The story of their life was going to stop when they died, and that no one was going to remember who they were. But as we saw in verse 6, they were both upright in the eyes of the Lord. They were both honorable people. And this right there, honorable people, is a common theme among the people of God. God's people honor him. Yes, God's people make mistakes. Yes, God's people are fools sometimes. We do stupid things sometimes. Even here in this section of Scripture, Zechariah is going to be silenced for months because of his lack of faith. But God is still drawing his people to him. Zechariah and Elizabeth are still following the Lord. So here's Zechariah. Just imagine, you're going into the temple, you're going to burn incense, and all of a sudden, it's only supposed to be you. All of a sudden, someone pops up right there. They're standing right there. Zechariah was the only person who was supposed to be in the temple at that time, and out of nowhere, this angel appears. Scripture states when Zechariah saw him, he started and gripped with fear. He was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." So here's Zechariah. He's old. He's getting along in years. He's a guy whose wife is also getting along in years. And this angel is looking at him saying, "Your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. In fact, your wife is going to be pregnant now." All of a sudden, after all of these years of not having children, after all of these years of praying to God and honoring God, it finally happens. And the funny thing is, Zechariah doesn't believe this angel. And because he doesn't believe the angel, we see in verse 20 that he was silenced. He loses his voice because of a lack of faith. And I find that a little bit funny. Zechariah, who is a descendant of Abraham, who was a follower of God, is going through a very similar struggle that Abraham had gone through 2,000 years earlier. Zechariah has an angel right there in front of him telling him that his prayers are going to be answered. Zechariah has been bringing this prayer before the Lord for years, probably decades. And when the angel tells him it's going to come true, he doubts it. Zechariah doubts the promises of God, and he reminds me so much of us. When we know the promises of our Lord, we know what Christ desires of us and what he's promised us, and yet we doubt those promises, and our doubts cause us not to act in faith. But Zechariah, instead of reminding me of Abraham, reminds me more of Sarah. When that angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "You're going to have a child," and she laughed in the tent saying, "Really, me? I'm old." Zechariah is just like Sarah here. But on the flip side, his wife Elizabeth, she's just like Abraham. Because we have to remember, it wasn't just an embarrassment for Zechariah that they had no children. It was also an embarrassment for Elizabeth that she hadn't been able to provide her husband a child. For decades, Elizabeth had been trying. She'd been praying to the Lord without ceasing. For decades, she'd been petitioning to the Lord, seeking his will, and she had not been given a child. And that's why it's so important that verse 6 here is here. Because both of them were upright in the Lord. They observed all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Can we really say that is true about ourselves? Christ did not come to erase it. He came to fulfill it. He came to show us what it truly meant to follow our Lord. And can we honestly say that we're following God's commands blamelessly? God says that these two were. And for Elizabeth, she desperately wanted to give her husband a child. She wanted to honor the Lord. And so for decades, she continued in that prayer. Prayer. Elizabeth is a role model for all of us when it comes to honor and honoring our Lord. But Elizabeth is also a role model for all of us when it comes to this idea of prayer. For years, she'd been holding on to this concept, this whole idea that God had put in her heart. For years, she'd been holding on to the promise that when we seek the Lord with all of our hearts, the Lord will be there for us. The Lord's going to bless us. The blessing for each one of us might not be having a child. It might be something different. But God desires to bless each and one of every one of those who are his. Downstairs in Sunday school, we've been walking through a short series on the power of prayer, and hopefully we're being challenged with that concept. What does prayer really look like? What does it mean to pray, to really pray? And prayer is about communicating with your Heavenly Father. Prayer is about talking with our Savior. And when God puts something on your hearts, we need to seek his will with everything we have. And Elizabeth is a great example right here of someone who did that. She had something on her heart that the Lord had put there, and she wrestled with the Lord through prayer. There's a really cool thing that happens when we start to wrestle with the Lord through prayer. The more we wrestle with God through prayer, the more you begin to see the heart of our Lord and Savior and how much he cares for you. When we pray, typically what we do is we send up a really quick prayer. Lord, draw my son and daughter to you. Lord, show me where I need to go next. Lord, help me find a better job. Lord, help me find a spouse. Lord, help me overcome an addiction. And we say those and we leave it at that. And while there's nothing wrong with sending up these little prayers, we have to ask ourselves, is that what God put on each and every one of our hearts? Or is there something more? Is there something else that God really desires for us? Because if the Lord has really put these prayers on our hearts, we can't just say a quick prayer and leave it at that. We have to wrestle with the Lord. You have to run to him at times, and you have to petition him. You have to put all your trust, and you have to grow in your trust of the Lord. Even if that prayer, that wrestling, that petition takes years or even decades before we see the fruit of that prayer. Decades, like Elizabeth right here. The reason so many people struggling hearing from the Lord, I think, and the scriptures probably would agree, well, they do, is because we don't spend a lot of time with the Lord. We don't pray. You can't spend a few minutes a week with anyone and truly get to know them. If I only spent a few minutes a week with my wife, I guarantee we wouldn't know each other. I wouldn't know my wife's hurts or her fears. I wouldn't know her joy or her dreams. I wouldn't know my wife at all if I only spent a few minutes a week with her. All I would know is that she's a person who lives in the house that I happen to live in at that point. And yet we think we can send a quick prayer up to God before a meal or before bed, and we can be done with it there. My childhood bedtime prayer was one that is common for many kids. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Or what about the dinner prayer that I grew up with in my Catholic side of the family? Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God. That's what we had. And when we look at it, there's nothing wrong with teaching our kids the concept of prayer, but how shallow are these prayers? Think about it. You aren't seeking the Lord when you're saying these prayers. You're just rubbing a magic lamp, hoping that God's going to grant your wish that you don't die tonight. I mean, rub-a-dub-dub. I mean, really, could it be any more obvious than a magic lamp that we're trying to rub? And even the Lord's Prayer is just an outline of how we're supposed to pray. Yet many take that as a serious prayer and they use that as their only prayer. They say it with the rosary. They say, I remember doing that as a kid as well. And don't get me wrong, I have no problem reciting prayers. Reading prayers of the saints who have gone on before me, those that are written down, and really praying those prayers to the Lord, because those prayers are powerful. But we can take and make prayer monotonous. We can water down prayer, thinking that we're communicating with God. And God is looking at each and every one of us saying, I want you to go deeper with me. Elizabeth here, as well as her husband Zechariah, they've been petitioning the Lord for years, trying to seek his will. They've been petitioning for decades, waiting for their prayer to be answered. And it's obvious that they had not received a no from God, even though it seemed that they were getting a no as years were going on. Yet they continued petitioning in that prayer. They continued honoring and obeying all of the Lord's commands. And yes, they were human. They failed at times. They definitely looked hypocritical at times. But God met with them. God heard them and he answered their prayers. And look what Elizabeth did next. Verse 24 and 25. After his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. We have Elizabeth, whose prayer has finally been answered, and instead of doing what most women do, which is go out and tell the whole world about her pregnancy, she went into seclusion. And her reason for going into seclusion is amazing. She wanted to go and worship the Lord and thank God for what he'd been doing. I wonder, looking at Elizabeth's life, if most of us don't receive miracles or blessings because we don't have the right mindset before the Lord. And we don't have the right heart or mindset before the Lord because we just don't spend a lot of time with God. Elizabeth could have gone out and started bragging about the fact that she was pregnant. She could have gone out letting the whole world know that she's finally able to be a blessing towards her husband, that this disgrace is gone, and that the Lord has blessed her. But she didn't. I mean, that's what we do. My brother was here this past summer when we were doing Nate and Lydia's baptism. We were joking around with my brother and his wife about how, you know, when are you going to have the next kid? You know, you got number three coming, don't you? And they were adamant. No, it's not going to happen. We're not having another kid. Two is enough because two is stressful. And you know what? About a month ago, their Facebook feed started blowing up. Why? Because my brother's wife is pregnant. And within a week of finding out, the Facebook feed blew up. She proclaimed it to the world just like many of us do. And here, for Elizabeth, instead of proclaiming her joy, we find her going into seclusion. Elizabeth had been living for decades with this pain, this suffering, this disgrace. And instead of going out and telling the world, I'm pregnant, she isolates herself, and she acknowledges to the Lord that God is great. God is awesome. She acknowledges to the Lord that he has blessed her greatly, and she went and ran to him and spent 5 months doing that. Is it possible that we just don't believe God? Is it possible that every once in a while God blesses us? God performs a miracle, and because we don't believe, because we don't acknowledge the Lord, that miracle fades. That miracle goes away. I know of a couple personal events that the doctors have been amazed about. Getting hit by a car on a bike, flipping over it, and not being paralyzed or dead. Having a detached retina, which eye doctors still doubt, except it's in my chart. I have x-rays. And yet I'm here, and I know why I'm here. I'm here because the Lord has blessed me more than I can imagine. I'm here because God has a plan for me, and I'm going to follow his will no matter what, because he has been so good. And I wonder if the reason many of us don't see miracles happening in the Western church, I wonder if it's because we just don't trust, we don't honor our Lord. I say specifically the Western church because if you look at global Christianity, you see miracles happening all the time. You see people healed. You see people coming to faith. You see people that were dead who are being lifted back to life. And you see that because they're really the people of the Lord. They're going out and doing what they're called to do. Elizabeth and Zechariah here, they were honorable before the Lord when it came to everything. They trusted and followed God in all their ways. And yes, Zechariah is having a hard time right now believing. He doubted the Lord right now, and the Lord muted him. But those who saw Zechariah when they came out of the temple, they knew that Zechariah had had an encounter with the Lord. They knew it. Yet the Lord had muted Zechariah until this day that his son was baptized. The term that's used right here is the Old Testament sign of the covenant. The term that's used is circumcision. You were commanded to bring your child, if it was a male child, before the Lord on the eighth day and have him circumcised. Circumcision is the Old Testament version of baptism. And when you brought that kid to be circumcised, they were not saved. That circumcision was a sign of the covenant. They were brought into the covenant. And so what? We don't believe the Lord. We don't trust the Lord. And another sign of this is we don't even bring our children anymore before the Lord. Yes, some do. But an overwhelming majority of people who say they're committed to the Lord don't bring their kids before the Lord to have them brought into the covenant. And the only way to bring your kids into the covenant is through the community of faith. So Zechariah has been muted. He hasn't been allowed to talk. And all of a sudden, his son is born, and he's bringing his son in to be a part of the covenant. And Elizabeth names him, and Zechariah writes the name down, John. And all of a sudden, he's been given the ability to talk again. And upon getting his voice back, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. He prophesied about what John was going to do. He prophesied about how John was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He was the last Old Testament prophet. And we know this, John. This is John the Baptist, who is going to point the way to the Lord. Pointing our way to the Lord is the whole point of Advent. Pointing the way to the Lord, that's what we're called to do as disciples. And we do it at Advent, but we don't just do it at Advent. It's the whole idea of being a follower of the Lord. As disciples, we are called to point people to the Lord. We're called to trust in the Lord with everything we have. And tied in with that means we're supposed to point people to Christ. This is the second weekend of Advent. It's typically known as the week of peace. Peace that is only possible because our Lord has come to earth. He's made the eternal sacrifice for us. A follower of Christ, we know this. We can go through stressful times. As followers of Christ, we can be under attack from all sides. And yet, because we trust in the Lord, there's this underlying sense of peace. That right there is an amazing reality. The Lord desires to give us peace, and that's a peace that surpasses all understanding. For Elizabeth, that meant years of struggling with the fact that she was barren, struggling with this disgrace that her culture was looking at her, saying, you couldn't even give your husband a child. And yet Elizabeth honored and followed the Lord in all she did. And when it was the right time, because she trusted in the Lord, she was blessed with a child. We live in a culture today where mental health issues are on the rise. Depression, anxiety, despair, schizophrenia, phobias, you name it. And I have to ask, why are the mental health issues on the rise in America when they're not in the rest of the world? But we also live in a culture today where if you say certain words, it's considered a hate crime. Because there are people out there who can't handle certain things. And once again, that is tied to mental health issues. Too many people have been coddled and haven't had to face the reality of life. And we live in a culture that when someone is elected into office, people take to the streets rioting, throwing cars, burning things, stealing. And what that shows me, what that should show all of us as disciples is that our culture desperately needs to know peace. And the only way our culture is going to know peace, true peace, is from our Lord and Savior. The only way our culture is going to understand this is if we go out as disciples of the Lord and show the love of our Lord and Savior to everyone around us, showing them that there is hope, that there is peace. Look at Elizabeth's life, her struggles and worries, her disgrace. That should challenge us. Because through it all, because through all this struggle and worry and disgrace, she focused on God. Through it all, in a culture where women weren't viewed as equals to men, where even if you were in the line of Aaron, traditionally you were not recognized because you were a female, Elizabeth kept her focus on God. She obeyed the Lord in all she did, and through faith, which really means through her actions, she was blessed. Blessed because through her child, a prophecy of old was fulfilled. Because through her child, everyone started seeing who Christ was. So as disciples, as people who want to honor our Lord, let's live lives worthy of God. Let's encounter true peace and point all those around us to the true peace. Let's be disciples and point people to the Lord, because the Lord is the only one who can truly bring peace to this earth. This earth where there's so much pain and sorrow. Now that is the true meaning of Christmas. Peace has come to earth. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you today just thanking you. Thanking you that you came to earth for us. Thanking you that you are walking alongside us at all times, taking care of us. Give us the wisdom we need. Give us the endurance we need to follow in your ways and point people to you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.